as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Let's do it, man.
Hi, I'm Billy Bragg.
I'm Joe Henry. Gentle on my mind.
Welcome to the sessions at Midori House. I'm Andrew Muller. The train song is one of the most enduring traditions in American popular music. But where most artists are content merely to sing about trains, our guests this week sang about trains on a train. Billy Bragg and Joe Henry took the Texas Eagle from Chicago to Los Angeles via Fort Worth, San Antonio, and El Paso, recording their versions of venerable Rattler Riding classics for their new album, Shine a Light.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. But it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line that keeps you on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on the columns now that binds me, or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're waiting on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, well, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and the summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. Well, I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, bubbling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a rough and cold pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round a tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waiting on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
Joe Henry and Billy Bragg, welcome to the sessions at Midori House.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
First of all, about the album that you've just played three tracks from, it is, it's not entirely an album of train songs, so there's quite a lot of train songs on it, but it was recorded on a train, or
yeah,
at least at train stations.
On a train, on the Texas Eagle, which is Amtrak's longest route between Chicago, Illinois, and Los Angeles, California. It's just under 3,000 miles. We chose that route particularly because it's a long route. We thought we might have a chance to get 12 songs away. And basically, when the train, it's not kind of like trains in the UK, in the larger cities, because the train runs for 65 hours, they have to change crews, reload, stuff like that. So in big cities like St. Louis, Fort Worth, San Antonio, places like that. They stopped for 30 minutes, which gave us time to go with our acoustic guitars, often into the waiting room, and record a classic Railroad song live.
Of the places you ended up recording songs, what was the most unusual or most memorable?
I think probably we got off the train in San Antonio because we wanted to get into the old Sunset Limited station there, which no longer belongs to Amtrak, and the train doesn't get in till midnight. So we decided to get off an overnight in the Gunter Hotel.
Robert Johnson's hotel, yes?
The very same Robert Johnson hotel, where in room 414 Robert Johnson recorded. Well, he only ever did two recording sessions in his entire career, and one of them was in room 414 of the Gunter Hotel. So we turned up there at like 2:30 in the morning, because the train was late, really, really cream-crackered. And we got the cars for our room, and they put me in room 414.
You didn't ask for that in advance?
No, didn't ask for it, just came up.
People pay handsomely to be in that room, but maybe it was late enough, and Bill looked earnest enough, and he was holding a guitar, that the bleary and weary desk clerk just passed him the key, so... That was pretty fascinating to step into that room for those of us for whom Robert Johnson is a really heavy number. You know, he's like Thomas Jefferson, for some of us. And to stand in that space was pretty remarkable.
But weirdly enough, there's no way we're going to play a Robert Johnson song because that really would have been, I just don't think we should, it's just not respectful to just turn up there and say, oh, yeah, we'll do what,
It would seem the obvious thing to do, obvious.
It just, neither of us felt comfortable with that idea. To put ourselves in the same category with him. But the next song up was Jimmy Rogers' song, Waiting for a Train, which we duly recorded and found out when I got back to Britain. I was doing some research about Jimmy Rogers, and it turned out that he lived in the Gunter Hotel for the last couple of years of his life. He had a permanent suite there. He had a radio show in San Antonio. So in some ways, having gone looking for the ghost of Robert Johnson, we'd actually connected with the spirit of Jimmy Rogers, which in some ways is the kind of just as cool thing to find that out.
It's always nice when you find those things after the event that kind of make sense of make more sense of it than you realise there was to be made sense of at the time.
Well, I think it kind of suggests that we were kind of tuning into something else out there, and I think that's why we took it onto the rails, why we didn't record this in a recording studio. It would have been very easy for me and Joe to make an album of, our favourite Railroad songs, a sort of nostalgia trip, Bill and Joe Like Trains. But that really
was another discarded title.
Yeah, that wasn't really where we were at. We were trying to sort of take these songs back to where they came from, to give them a certain amount of vitality. And let me tell you, when you're looking over Joe's shoulder during the take at the conductor of the train to see when he's going to shout the all aboard, and you've got to get back out there and get on the train, it keeps everything real and in the moment. But that, we wanted to be able to talk about the railroad in interviews. We wanted to be able to talk about the railroad in America because it's not like the railroad in the UK. I mean, when we were on that train south of St. Louis on the way to San Antonio, we were the only passenger train all day that went to Little Rock, Fort Worth, those kind of places. And when we were on the second leg to San Antonio, we were the only train every other day.
Which is a shame because there is, just even the place names you're talking about have a romance and a resonance that it's hard to summon about crew and rugby and I guess even most European rail destinations. There is still a romance to the American rail journey, isn't there?
Oh, it's powerful. And even people in my country who have never ridden a train as a passenger would tell you that they love trains. Railroad in America is a mythical and powerful metaphoric image. As soon as you conjure the railroad, everyone seems to know instinctively that you're not really talking about trains. You're talking about possibility. You're talking about regret, the past, desire. You're talking about movement. It's a poetry that's pretty loaded.
And this is the L&N Don't Stop Here Anymore. When I was a curly-headed baby, Daddy set me down upon his knee. Saying, son, you go to school and learn your letters. Don't become no dusty minor boy like me. I was born and raised in the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Cold cars roaring and rumbling past my door. Now
they stand in a rusty woven team. Gosh, the yelling men don't stop here anymore. Used to think my daddy was a black man. The script's enough to buy the company store. Now he goes to town with empty pockets, and his face is white as February snow. I was born and raised in the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Cold cars roaring and a rumbling past my door. Now they stand in a rusty row of empties. Gosh, the yelling men don't stop here anymore.
Did either of you perceive the album as being a, I guess, a statement beyond being a collection of songs about the railway recorded on the railway, in light of what you're saying there, Billy? Is it at some even subliminal or subconscious level a state of the nation survey?
Well, I think that's in some ways it was a very conscious thought, because we did not want to make a nostalgia project. I mean, the point is not to be looking back at a tradition, but the fact that we are joining one that is alive. You know, it's not a dead language. You know, the American folk tradition is not a dead language any more than Shakespeare is dead. I mean, it's vibrant because it's so malleable and applicable, and it has stayed shockingly relevant. And the songs we have gone back to, again, it's not about, you know, diving back into the past, but understanding how these songs still kind of scroll as a subtitle to our contemporary lives.
On that related subject, though, I guess, is there something that was easy is not the right word, but I guess safer for you, I guess, at this point, as somebody who has written songs about topical matters, to return, I guess, to the basics, the foundation of it, rather than trying to keep up with this year's bizarre helter-skelter of events?
I don't think anybody could have seen any of this coming. You know, it does seem a strange thing to be doing, making a song about trains while all this is going down. But I think if you'd put a year ago, you'd have looked at the European referendum as a waste of time, a vote that probably no one would really get involved in, and it would just be, you know, a way of the Tories to try and settle something, internal party politics. And you'd think the American election would probably be between two corporatists that wouldn't really, you know, make a huge difference if one was elected. Actually, the reality of it is that Brexit has divided our country in a way that I can't remember in my lifetime, certainly much more than during the miners' strike, maybe, you know, since the 1930s.
Last night I dreamed I went down to the office, get my paycheck like I'd done before. Those kudzu vines were covering up the doorway. Grease and grass growing right up through the floor. I was born and raised in the mouth of the Hazard Holler, with the coal cars roaring and a rumbling past my door. Now they stand in a rusty row of empty, cast the yelling in. Don't stop here anymore.
This was something I wanted to ask you each in turn, speaking as an outsider to both countries. I am an Australian which has not yet quite been subsumed by the apparently incipient age of the Yahoo. But Joe, I'll ask you first, if you look at the Trump insurgency in the United States, has it caused you to think differently about your country and the way you might respond to it as an artist?
Well, I've certainly woken up, as so many of my fellow citizens have. You know, it's really important to remember, and I remind myself before I remind anybody else, you know, Trump did not create this moment. He's here to let us know about it. You know, he is a giant, gaudy mirror that has been propped up to show us who we are compared to who we have always pretended that we are, have wanted to believe that we are. He didn't set the house on fire. You know, he's fanned the flames. He's warmed his hands over it. But, you know, what is happening in my country has been happening for a long time. It did not begin with the man who now stands to represent this shocking and deeply embarrassing moment. I do think differently in that it is so part of the conversation now. You know, there's nothing hidden about this. Nobody can come to the other end of this election, no matter how it turns out, and claim that they were fooled. The cards are all been dealt on the table, and they're all been dealt face up. You know, we know what we're after here, and people are having to actually own what's important to them. And we're going to find it. We're about to find out what really matters to us as a nation, who we really want to be versus who we advertise ourselves to be.
And Billy, I guess I ask you the same question. You were playing Glastonbury the weekend of the referendum vote here. Did that result end up teaching you, or did you end up feeling like you'd learnt something about your country that you didn't know, and did you have to rethink how you respond to that as a songwriter?
Well, I think that, you know, I've been writing about Englishness for a while now, and I think what's happened is really about England and England's sense of itself and where it thinks itself in the world. I think, you know, we're going to find out in the coming months and years how the world sees us. We're already getting a hint of that in the way that Theresa May came home from India with the message that, you know, if you don't want us to come to your country, then we don't really want to sell your stuff. You know, I think we're about to see ourselves again as others see us. But to me, the real question is generational. Do the young generation have a response to this? Because it's really on them. You know, that morning at Glastonbury, I went off to get my coffee. And I was standing in the queue, and some young guy said to me, "Oh man, what are you going to do now?" And I was like, "I mean, it's not about me. My generation, my generation have just kicked the stool away from your generation. It's really on you and what you are going to do." And you know, we're always talking about, "Oh, there's not enough political music around anymore," and all that kind of stuff. I don't expect young people to start writing, you know, "Between the Wars" and "There's Power in a Union." It's a different time. But I do expect to hear in some way from that generation about the pressure that they're under, and to hear them, Tim, step up and take responsibility for the situation that they find themselves in, although it's not of their creating. And I think that could be the most encouraging thing to come of this, because in the same way, as Joe just said, we are about to find out what kind of country we are. Those dice have been rolled, and we're yet to see the way the numbers come up.
Rock Island Line. Rock Island Line,
mighty good road.
Rock Island Line,
road to ride.
Oh, that Rock Island Line,
she's a mighty good road.
If you wanna ride it, gotta ride it like you fly. Get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Well, ABC, double XYZ.
Cat's in the cupboard, but he can't see me.
Oh, the Rock Island Line.
Mighty good road,
Rock Island Line,
road to ride.
Oh, that Rock Island Line,
she's a mighty good road.
If you wanna ride it, gotta ride it like you're flying. Get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. Well, I may be right and I may be wrong.
You're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Oh, the Rock Island Line,
mighty good road,
Rock Island Line,
road to
oh,
ride.
Oh, that Rock Island Line,
she's a mighty good road.
If you wanna ride it, gotta ride it like you're flying. Get your ticket at the station on a Rock Island Line. Well, Jesus died to save our sins.
Glory to God, we're gonna see him again.
Oh, the Rock Island Line,
mighty good road,
Rock Island Line,
road to
oh,
ride.
That Rock Island Line,
she's a mighty good road.
If you wanna ride it, gotta ride it like you're flying. Get your ticket at the station on a Rock Island Line.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guests were Billy Bragg and Joe Henry. Their album Shine a Light, Field Recordings from the Great American Railroad, is out now on Cooking Vinyl Records, and the pair are touring the UK in November and January. Join us again at the same time next week when we'll have music from Julia Jacklin. But for the time being, I've been Andrew Muller. Thanks for tuning in. Wanna ride it, gotta ride it like you're flying. Get your ticket at the station on a rung out of line. If you wanna ride it, gotta ride it like you're flying. Get your ticket at the station on the rung out of line. If you wanna ride it, gotta ride it like you're flying. Get your ticket at the station on the rung out of line.